Hello and welcome to the second episode of the Future Proof Careers Podcast, brought to you by the leading providers of IT apprenticeships across the UK, QA. Future Proof is the podcast for those just starting out in the world of work, helping to provide you, the listener, with the right information for a future-proofed career. See what we did there? In the last episode, we spoke to some of the QA Network alumni and heard their thoughts on choosing your first employer. You can still listen to episode one by subscribing to the Future Proof Careers Podcast on Audioboom, iTunes, and Spotify. As always, I'm Luke Roberts, your podcast guide. And in this week's episode, I'll be speaking with the recruitment manager from Visa Europe, asking the big question. How should you prepare for an interview and best navigate your way through the most difficult of questions? Our guest this week is Dan Farrer from Visa. Dan is a next-generation talent manager who supports all hiring onto the apprenticeship, intern, and graduate programs. Dan has vast recruitment experience and has been actively involved in helping young people to get on the career ladder. He'll be offering great advice on what brands are looking for in applicants and new recruits. So, without further ado, let's get on with the show. Dan, welcome. So look, would you mind telling me and the listeners a little bit about yourself?
So I work for Visa in their Next Gen Talent team. So I'm all about recruiting apprentices, interns and grads and just generally entry-level people into the tech firm.
So recruitment manager, is that for the whole of Europe?
Yes, that's everything from London and Reading and Basingstoke and glamorous places like that, across to Milan, Madrid, Frankfurt, wherever we're looking to bring young people in.
That is a huge role.
It's pretty exciting. Not as much international travel as I would probably ideally like, but I suppose you've got to be in the office sometime.
So look, I want to take you back to the very, very beginning. How did you get started in your career?
So I actually went to university where I read law because I thought, I've seen enough episodes of Suits to know I want to be a lawyer. I'm just like Mike Ross. Quickly realised I wasn't because I couldn't memorise everything really quickly. But I did finish my degree and actually worked at a law firm for a year doing a bit of case handling and helping out on some different things whilst I tried to figure out what I really wanted to do and what my passion was. Luckily, I did a little bit of networking whilst I was at the law firm, and that's when I found out about recruitment and the sorts of things that I could do in that sort of role. And I worked as a recruitment agent for sort of 3.5-4 years. Really enjoyed that and decided that instead of just recruiting anything and anyone a client would let me, I wanted to kind of focus more on, in particular, helping people make the sorts of decisions I struggled with when I left university and trying to form a career. So I got into the entry-level side, started out in a software company. Then I went to a big four accountancy firm, and now I'm at Visa.
Wow. So look, now you're at Visa. Tell me about the type of apprenticeships that they offer.
So there's two types that Visa generally have. So the first one is a management apprenticeship. So that's a four-year program where you study a degree part-time, supported by QA in the University of Roehampton. And you do 4 days a week full-time work in the office, rotating around the different business functions at Visa in Paddington. So that could be marketing, HR, client services, anything and everything really. The other programme is a tech one, so that focuses around cybersecurity. Again, it has a degree, which this time is with the Open University, but a similar idea in that you rotate around, except you're based in Reading and Basingstoke, looking after cybersecurity and the different tech functions we do instead.
Dan, are you prepped on these questions? Because this is the easiest interview I think I've ever done.
I do feel a little bit like I'm at a school careers fair, being asked all the questions I expect, to be honest with you.
Oh, well, I'm impressed. Look, you must receive hundreds, if not thousands, of applications. At Visa, how would I make my application stand out?
For me, the biggest thing is knowing that we're a technology company and we're not a bank, we're not a credit card company, and we don't really work in finance. We're about moving money around. So being able to understand that we're a technology company and show me that you're passionate about technology is always really, really great from our point of view.
So in terms of a CV, how would I get that across to you?
So I'll tell you a little secret, Luke. Recruiters are incredibly lazy.
Right.
I hate to break it to you. We're not going to read your whole CV for every single person that applies. There is a post on LinkedIn that's been doing the rounds for many, many years that shows a heat map of where recruiters look at a CV. And the big things we look for, apparently, are right in the middle of the CV and at the top. We don't tend to look at too much else unless we see what we like. So a short, sharp personal statement of 3 or 4 lines that references the company you've applied for is always going to make a recruiter think you're really passionate and interested. And then the key information about the qualifications we're looking for will tell you in the job spec what we need. So make sure you put that, you know, front and centre in your CV as well. And after that, hopefully you've done enough to make me read on.
So how about negatives? What should I totally avoid, never put on?
Well, I did this when I was young as well, so I completely understand the mistake, but cheesy word art and graphics like that.
Guilty.
Yeah, never go down well. Just don't look the most professional. So try and keep it fairly simple and straightforward. Try not to ramble too much and always check the spelling.
Oh, good tip.
Well, the CV is the first thing a recruiter sees about you, so I've got to make some pretty quick judgments. If the spelling hasn't been checked, then I'm probably going to assume that you're just not the most diligent. Whereas if the spelling's right, then you're off to a good start.
So can you remember a certain application that you've received and it was great from the word go? You followed them through from the application process to the interview. They even got the job. Can you remember what stood out for that particular applicant?
Yeah, definitely. So they included a short personal statement when they actually made their application, which referenced the fact they'd actually met someone from Visa at a careers fair. So they knew what we did. They mentioned that conversation and why it got them so excited, which is always great to see. And then throughout the process, they just did their research, worked really hard on all the tips we gave them. You know, employers want you to be successful. I definitely don't want to have to go through 10,000 applications if I can help it to find the people we want to hire. So they took on board the advice we gave them, did the prep, and just showed that they were really enthusiastic and willing to learn.
So we've got an example of a great application. Can you tell us about a weak one and why?
One of the funniest things I've ever seen on an application was when I was working for a member of the Big Four. Somebody actually sent in their CV with a cover letter, and on the CV and the cover letter had different company names from who we were, which we had a laugh about in the office, but obviously they didn't progress through the process, which was a bit embarrassing.
Rightly so.
Another funny one that I've seen, that again is just about doing the basics and doing your homework and double checking everything, was we invited somebody in for an interview and they went to one of our competitors' offices for that interview, and I actually got a phone call from the receptionist at said competitor's office to say, I've got one of your candidates in our reception. Can you come and pick them up, please? Because they don't know where they are. So it sounds a little bit silly, but just doing a little bit of background, double checking everything and proofreading everything before you send it. And on the day of an interview, whilst you're really nervous, again, double, triple check. Do the journey in advance to the office if you're unsure. And that way, those silly things won't happen for sure.
Attention to detail.
Definitely. It's absolutely massive.
So I've applied. I've sent you my CV. You liked it. I'm in the room. We're at the interview. Give me some tips, because this is the most daunting stage for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's really scary. I mean, one thing I would say is often the interviewer is just as nervous as you. They don't want to make a mistake. They don't want to embarrass themselves. It's a little bit like what people say about a spider. So definitely try not to be too nervous. Try to smile as much as possible. Even if you're not having a great time and you're not enjoying it, if you smile, your voice sounds a little bit happier. You come across as a little bit more confident. And who doesn't like someone that smiles a lot? Happy people, right?
We're pretty happy.
Exactly. That's why we do well in an interview, Luke.
Oh, well, no pressure. Look, you know, I remember reading articles about people that had applied for jobs on social media. They'd literally just tweeted big companies, sold themselves, got the job. It was easy. It was a fairy tale. It was the dream come true. Do you think that big employers and Visa specifically are moving away from the standard CV?
We definitely want to. Like I say, as a recruiter, I'm a bit lazy. I don't want to have to read all those CVs. And for big companies, we get so many applications, and we definitely want to find the people that are the best fit, but kind of we're looking for better ways to do that. So definitely one of the things that we're doing at Visa is trying to think about different ways we can get to know people really easily, really quickly, that are just super natural. I don't think anybody does well in those tests where they're asked, oh, tell me about whether you like to work in a team or not. Who actually puts no for that? So yeah, one of the things we're doing is like a gamified assessment. So you literally play games online for us for an hour, which all seem a little bit like nonsense, blowing up balloons and trying to crack safe codes and things. But actually gives us a really good insight into who you are as a person, which is often a lot more useful than just a normal CV.
And is that before they even get to the interview process?
Yeah, 100%. With an assessment like that, we can gather so much data about people's approaches to problem solving and how they're going to work really well. And given that it's just an hour commitment for them, they don't have to come into the office, and it's no real-time commitment from us other than to have a look at the results. It's just much, much better for everyone, and it's pretty enjoyable on the whole.
So does that ever work against you? Do people ever get confused as to why they didn't get to the next stage after they've played some games that mean a lot more to you than they do them?
Yeah, definitely. Sometimes I think of it as a little bit like dating, because you're almost telling someone it's not me, it's not you, it's me. You know, just because a candidate's not a great fit for Visa based off the game because of their approach to problem solving doesn't mean they might not be a great fit for another company. And sometimes it's really hard to land that message with people.
So how about people going the extra mile? I mean, sometimes people are, they're not only sending their CVs in, they're making presentations, they're making videos. What about out-of-the-box applications?
It's always nice. It does brighten up my day to see something a little bit different. I guess one thing I would say is that for an applicant, your time's just as precious as mine. I would be horrified if I thought someone had spent 5 or 6 hours one evening slaving away after college to make a presentation and then not get the job. So I'd say just try and be honest with yourself and manage your own time and not put too much into every application because, there's no guarantee of success just because you've put a lot into it.
So now this is a big one. Mental health is just everywhere. It's so forward at the moment in the press and everywhere we look. How would you recommend that somebody dealt with a work overload, like loads of stress at work, especially at the very beginning of their career?
If I'm really honest, just ask for help. It sounds like such an obvious one, but nobody in any office is going to judge you because you're struggling. If anything, it's kind of a badge of honour in the office that you're mature enough and grown up enough to say, oh, I really need some help. And try and be honest about what helps you manage stress as well. And at Visa, we have sort of quite relaxed working hours in that you don't have to be at your desk every hour of the day. So if I get really stressed, I go to the gym, which is downstairs, or we have like yoga and meditation sessions, or even crazy kind of lunch into the unknown where you get to do a skill that you've never thought of before, like calligraphy or rapping or something like that.
Yeah. And do you think that really, really helps? Does it help to clear your mind personally?
Yeah. If I'm trying to focus on not dropping a heavy weight on my head, then I'm probably not thinking about what's happening in the office. And just that break is really, really good.
So hindsight is so, so powerful. If you could tell yourself one thing now that you've learnt, so go back to the very beginning of your career, you've graduated, you're out into the big wide world. What is that piece of advice?
Speak to as many people as possible. I kind of mentioned at the top of the podcast that I actually just found recruitment by networking with people, getting to know people, asking questions about what they did. And I definitely think that's the best way just to find out about more careers. There's all sorts of stats that are probably not quite true, but about 65% of primary school children are going to end up in jobs that don't even exist now. And you're never going to be able to find those jobs unless you get chatting to people. So definitely just talk to as many people as possible, network, and don't be afraid to ask questions.
I feel like I want to work for Visa. Now, you've sold it to me with the softest sell ever, but go on, sum it up. What do you look for in an employee?
I think one of the biggest things that we look for is people who are curious, people who want to learn and people who want to challenge the status quo. We talk a lot about being trailblazers at Visa and trying to be different in how we do things. And that's because as a tech company, we're always trying to innovate. We're always trying to think about the next big thing and how we can try and help enable payments in society. So I'd say people who can show me that they're interested in learning, people who are interested in what we're doing and people who are really curious are always going to be really interesting to us.
I'm so impressed. I learned so much then, even about the CV and what to put on it that I would have got so, so wrong. And already we've covered loads of the CV writing, interview tips that have been great. But I thought we should put those into practice, Dan. But I'm going to say two words that put the fear of God into everybody out there. Role play.
I feel like I'm back at a graduate assessment centre, Luke. I'm not sure about this.
To be honest, I'm probably just as nervous as you are. Now, we have made this pretty hard. Are you up for the challenge?
I hope so, as long as you're nicer to me than Simon Cowell, right?
Okay, well, I can't promise anything. So now I am the CEO of a totally made-up company. Do you want to hear a bit about my company?
Go on, you better tell me a little bit.
We're called Atlas, and we're an international company based in London that makes trip planning easier. We have a startup mentality, even though that now we employ over 1,000 people in 5 different countries. We're looking to expand, so we want to hire an apprentice who can think outside the box and adapt to a fast-paced work environment. We're looking to hire a new network engineer who can learn and grow with my company, Atlas. Dan, welcome to the interview room. So, why do you want to get into tech?
Well, first off, I think I'm really excited by technology. I've always been really passionate about everything that moves so quickly these days. When I was at college, I was actually in a tech club where we used to spend time after school trying out new hardware and software. So a company like Atlas that's right on the cutting edge of everything would be really exciting for me.
And what is it about our company that appeals to you?
I love travel, so it combines two of my big passions in travel and technology, so now I'll be really motivated to do things that you guys are doing. The fact that you've grown so quickly is so exciting, and I feel like as an apprentice, I'll get to learn so much more with different people in the company.
So going back to what we said, breaking out of character for a moment, going back to what you said earlier on, you've kept that all positive, you were smiling the whole time, I was totally engaged. You're definitely practicing what you preach, Dan.
It's a bit embarrassing if the recruiter can't nail an interview, isn't it, to be fair?
All right, here we go. Question three. So why should we hire you?
All the reasons I've kind of just said in that I'm really passionate. I'm very excited about what you're doing. But I think I've got a lot of soft skills as well. I need to be taught some of the technical things that you guys will be working on. But I'm really good at managing my own time. I balance my A-levels with a part-time job. So I'm strong at that. I'd like to think I'm a good communicator. So I get on well with people and everyone seems to like me. And I'm just really hardworking.
So you picked something there that said there was definitely room for improvement and you were really brutally honest with yourself. Is that important in an interview?
Yeah, I think it's really key that you're able to highlight your own weaknesses. It shows an employer that you're switched on, you're able to kind of self-assess, and that's a skill that's really hard to teach somebody.
Okay, back in the interview room. Where do you see yourself in 10 years' time?
I think in 10 years' time, I'd love to be working on even more brand new technology. I'd like to feel like I'm going to be in a position to be able to help train people as I've hopefully been trained with a company. I'm not going to pretend like I know exactly what I'll be doing because things move so quickly in tech, but that's one of the things that gets me really excited about starting my career here.
Now, this next question is so, so tough. Even just going for an interview as a shop job when I was a kid, this always used to scare the life out of me. What is your biggest weakness? As an employer, are you trying to rile us up and get us to say all the wrong things and get rid of us and get us out of the interview room?
It's such an interesting question, isn't it? Because everybody does seem to struggle with it. Even people who've got 20, 30 years experience seem to trip over this question and panic a little bit. I guess when I ask this question, I'm looking to find out if you're self-aware. As I kind of mentioned, you know, we've all got faults, we've all got flaws. I think the important thing is that you're aware of them and you want to work on them. So when I ask that question, I just want to find out a little bit about you and see if you are self-aware enough to know what you need to work on.
So you're not trying to trip us up?
I'm definitely not trying to trip anybody up ever. Like I said, recruiters, we want everybody we meet to be a superstar. That would literally make my day. So we're not trying to trip you up. We're looking for excuses to hire you.
So Dan, you have to answer the question. What is your biggest weakness?
So my biggest weakness is that I say yes to everything. Whenever somebody comes to me with a new project or a new idea, I get so excited and passionate about it. I find that all that enthusiasm really infectious. So I often take on too much. But one thing I have been working on that's definitely helped with balancing A-levels and part-time work is by saying no to a few things and learning how to respond to people in a really positive way whilst not maybe being able to help them out.
And what motivates you?
I love the idea of learning new things. I'm really excited about the idea of an apprenticeship because it sounds like it's just going to be an opportunity to learn for the next 3 or 4 years, expand my horizons, and that's something that makes me really, really excited.
So working for my company, how would you respond to criticism?
I'd like to think I'd respond really, really positively. I kind of said I'm motivated by learning, and I think criticism is just an opportunity to learn. So hopefully if somebody's criticising me, it's because they want me to get better and they want to help me, and that's something I'm really interested in. So I think I'd relish it, Luke.
What aspects of this job appeals to you the least?
Wow, that's a really difficult question. I think there's nothing that necessarily puts me off the job, but the thing that I know will be the most difficult thing is balancing kind of the studies alongside the actual day-to-day of the work. And knowing how I get really excited about projects, sometimes I know it's going to be really hard to try and drag myself away from something that I'm really excited about. But I guess that's probably just for the best, because then the things that I do after that will be new learning experiences.
What a brilliant answer.
Like I say, you've got to turn the frown upside down and hopefully get someone really excited about hiring you.
Okay, last question, but it is a tough one. I think it is. Do you have any questions? What are we supposed to say to that?
Whatever your questions are. Again, it's not a trick question. We're not trying to trip you up. You're interviewing the interviewer just as much as they're interviewing you. That's why I think some interviewers do get really nervous. They're worried they're not going to be able to answer your questions. So if you're ever given the opportunity to ask questions, just make sure you ask the stuff that is important to you, whether that is, what are my prospects going to be like in 3 or 4 years? Can you tell me about some of the projects that I'm going to be working on straight away? Or just, what's the culture like in the firm? Anything you need to know is actually an important question to ask.
Okay, so rewind to your interview at Visa. Can you remember anything that you asked?
If I'm very honest with you, I ask them what they really do as a business. I struggle to get my head around it. I'm not, like, even though I'm a tech recruiter and I do recruit onto cybersecurity and things like that, I really am quite tech phobic. I don't understand a lot of the terminology. So I had to sit down and ask them, can you explain to me what your business does in real depth and what the challenges are to try and hire people who can do that?
So as a rule of thumb, don't be afraid to ask anything.
100% not. Obviously, don't ask the silly questions like what time's lunch.
that's me out.
It's always a little bit embarrassing when people have questions like that. But anything that is of interest to you about the company or about the job is a great question that shows at least you're taking things seriously and really thinking about it.
Dan, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for being such a great sport. And once again, thank you for joining me on the Future Proof Careers podcast.
No worries, Luke. Really lovely to have a chat with you.
That brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks again to our guest and to QA for making this happen. Remember, you can find all the information that was covered in this episode on the QA website. And please remember to subscribe, share and rate the Future Proof Careers podcast, which you can find on the QA Apprenticeships website, Audioboom, iTunes, Spotify and wherever else you indulge your podcasting needs. And if you have any questions you want answered in our next episode, you can ask them via Twitter at QA Apprentices. I've been Luke Roberts. This has been the Future Proof Careers podcast. Thanks for listening.